So the subject I've been given to talk about is In His Presence There Is Freedom. And the main scripture that I'm going to speak on is John 8:36, which is, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And so I'd like to just begin by looking at what we have been set free from. There's something I read in a book which spoke to me about the seriousness and sadness of sin, really. So I'm just going to start by just reading that. This is back at the start in the Garden of Eden. Now the snake was the most stealthy and cunning of all Eden's creatures, which made him the perfect choice. The devil knew that he could use the serpent's smooth voice to gently and covertly manipulate Adam and Eve. If the strategy worked, then God would be forced to watch his entire precious creation suffer, which of course was the whole purpose of the plan. He waited for Eve near her favorite tree and watched her as she meandered through the garden towards him. With great control and measure, he presented her with a new and seemingly innocent view of God's words. Slowly, he encouraged her to question God's truth and probe into his intentions. Think again, Eve. Did God really say that? What is God trying to keep from you? Would you not also like to be as God? The devil understood this particular desire only too well, and it was easy for him to articulate it. As he gently wooed her, he watched her with tantalizing relish as she lifted the forbidden fruit to her lips. In that second, his soul almost exploded within him. This, he knew, would be like a dagger in the heart of God, and he savored every second. As he slid away, he smiled to himself. At last, she preferred him to God. At last she chose to sit under his authority. Nothing in all creation could explain the satisfaction he felt. He had snatched from the Almighty's hands everything that God held as beloved, and it tasted simply delicious. So at the heart of it all is sin, the act that is like a dagger in the heart of God, and it is that that we have been set free from. John 8 verse 34 says, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And Adam and Eve, they made a choice to sin, didn't they? And we make a choice to sin. It doesn't happen to us, does it? We make it happen. And sin will make us hide from God. And it doesn't make us feel clean. It makes us feel dirty, doesn't it? And the only way to feel clean is to come to the cross and confess our sins. And sin does not come alone, does it? It brings with it a whole load of other stuff. And I'm just going to talk briefly about a few of these things that maybe Adam and Eve might have felt, or maybe you have. So I'm going to talk briefly about guilt, shame, fear, and secrets. And these are all things that can affect any of us. And they are all things that if the Son sets you free from, you are free indeed from. So guilt is something that we carry, isn't it? And it's about something that we've done. So you feel guilt in the pit of your stomach, don't you? If you know you've done something you shouldn't have done, you feel it, and it's not a nice feeling, and it affects the way we behave, and we'd do anything to get rid of that feeling sometimes, wouldn't we? We can blame other people, but we still know. And the way to deal with guilt is to confess it to God and receive his forgiveness. Fear is a thief, nothing less than that. And fear is like a snake. The more you give in to it, the tighter its grip on you. And we can fear all sorts of stuff, and it's tiring. And sometimes we give in to fear because it seems like it's just easier not to do that thing or not to be involved in that thing that we feel God wants us to do sometimes. It seems easier to give in. But actually, when we give in, we just become captives in a cage. And fear will rob us of walking in the plans that God has for us. Jesus is more than able to deal with fear, and we will look at it more later. Secrets. I'm talking about secrets that result from sin, and whole lives can be built around secrets. Secrets are powerful, and they can have power over us. Secrets build walls around us that feels like it's our protection. And we also protect secrets because we don't want anyone to find out. And they are also hard work and tiring. But secrets are emptied of their power and strength and are less severe when they are spoken, and this I know. We can speak our utmost secrets to God, and he knows them anyway, but when we speak them out, they lose their power. And I just want to say, you know, if you have secrets that are associated with sin, whether something done to you or something you've done, find someone you trust. And I know that that's not always easy sometimes with secrets, but find someone you trust and speak the secret, because then the secret loses its power and it has no hold over you. Shame. Shame is a big deal. Shame affects men and women. It's not the same as guilt. It's not about something we've done. It's about something done to us. And shame is something that we can carry deep inside of us. And shame is about who we are. And it can make us feel unworthy. It can make us feel like everything is our fault. It can make us feel that we're not as clean as everyone else. Shame can make you feel inferior and you don't know why. Receiving love can be difficult. Shame can affect your whole life and it can become a way of life. And shame can make you want to hide away because you feel that you're not good enough. And I just want to say that Jesus can take away your shame. And I know that if people feel that they carry shame, that seems like a big deal that Jesus can take it, but he actually can. And I think when we live with shame, you can feel that you're a victim of that thing that has been done. But actually, what was done on the cross turns that on its head, because we don't actually have to live as victims, because we are overcomers because of what Christ has done. So as we went back to the start in Eden, I would just like to go back to the finish at Calvary. John 19, verse 30, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And this is the Son who sets us free, and we are free indeed. And he is the Son, he is the Lord, he is the truth, he is the sinless one. He is the light of the world, and there is no darkness in him. And when he says, "It is finished," it is well and truly finished. And so I just want to have a look at who Jesus is, this Son who sets us free. I'm going to read a scripture, and you've probably heard it before. But can I just say, listen to it as if you haven't, because sometimes I think we get used to reading a scripture and we think, I know what that says, and we don't really take it in. So I'm just going to read Colossians 1, verse 15 to 20. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all fullness dwell in him, and through him, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." It could only ever have been him that could set us free. It could only ever have been him, because he's the creator and he was there at the beginning and he holds all things together. He is the only sinless one who is worthy. And on the cross, Jesus was sacrificed for our sin, and we know that, don't we? Our sin was paid for well and truly, as if it had never happened. But he also broke every chain that was associated with that sin. So guilt, fear, shame, secrets, oppression, addiction, unforgiveness, the past, worry, all of those things, we are set free by the Son. And when we are set free indeed, because this sacrifice was once for all time, never to be repeated. You may think, well, I'm a Christian and I know that Jesus died for my sin and that if the Son sets me free, I'm free indeed. But in certain areas of my life, I don't feel free. So does living in freedom require work on our part? Yes and no. No, because what Jesus did, we can never do. The sacrifice was made on the cross for our sin. He took it to the grave and he rose again so that we are entirely, completely, utterly free. And nothing we do should be added to that. There is nothing that we can do to add to our freedom. But yes, in a way, we have a part to play, because John 8, verse 31 says, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So hold to my teachings, he says, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hold to my teachings must involve reading the Bible, because that's where they are. So read the Bible, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible reveals who Jesus is. So an important part of living in freedom involves reading the Bible. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirits, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God cuts through all the stuff that goes on in our heads and all the stuff that goes on around us and all the stuff that goes on in the world, and it speaks truth straight to the heart of the matter. And when we believe that truth, we are set free. Sometimes when we become Christians, we are set free immediately from things that we have struggled with. Sometimes it happens straight away. But sometimes it takes a little longer. And what's that all about? Well, sometimes I think we need to learn to live in the freedom that we've been given. And when we become Christians, we are no longer slaves to sin. The cage door has been opened and Jesus has set us free. But sometimes we can still live in a cage with the door open. And sometimes I think we can make our cages very comfortable. We can decorate them with scatter cushions and soft furnishings. And I've had some beautiful places in my time. But they're still cages, even if the door is open. And we can feel very proud of the cage that we live in because it's safe and relied upon and we know where we are with it. And sometimes I think in our lives we can step out of the cage and certain things happen that we are not free, the area we're not free in, and we step back inside because it's easier. But Jesus did not die for us to live in cages. He died for us to live lives of total and utter freedom. And the protection that is outside of the cage is far greater than the protection that is within. So I just want to say, if there is an area in your life that you feel that you're still in a cage, then step out, because God can be trusted and he will protect you and he will help you to walk in that thing, whatever it is. Sometimes it is a struggle to live in freedom in certain areas and we don't find it easy. And it takes a bit longer. And in those times, in the struggle, Jesus walks close to us. Skin to skin, he walks. And as we go through the struggle, he walks through it with us. And in the midst of that journey, a relationship is born that is precious. And I read something this week when I was doing homework for the Precepts Bible study. And it was Genesis 28, verse 11 to 12. And it was about Jacob, and he was traveling and he had a stone that he used for a pillow, and he slept that night and he saw the ladder between heaven and earth. He had a dream and he saw the ladder, and that represents Jesus. And I thought of, you know, sometimes it's not easy and sometimes it's not comfortable and you feel like you are sleeping with your head on the stone. But actually in those times, Jesus is revealed quite often. And that makes that time precious, even if it's difficult, because out of that comes something amazing that wouldn't have happened before if life had been so easy. So I just want to share a dream that I had, and I've shared this at Oasis, so I'm sorry if you've heard it again, but I had this dream at a time when I was struggling to be free in a certain area, so I'm just going to share it because maybe it will help someone else. So drink. So I had a dream that I was in the room with where Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. And I remember thinking, this is a dream, so they're not going to be able to see me. So I sat and watched as he went round and washed everyone's feet. And When he came to the guy next to me, he looked over at me like that. And I remember thinking, he knows I'm here. And I looked at my feet and they were black. And I was trying to rub the stuff off my feet, but it wouldn't come off. And so I put my head down and I put my feet under my chair and just hoped that he would walk past. But he didn't walk past. And he stood in front of me and he called my name. And I said, please walk past. Please don't look at my feet. And he knelt before me. And he lifted up my head and he took my feet out from under the chair and he held them. And I said, please don't look at my feet. I would have cleaned them if I'd have known that this was going to happen. And he said, I know how every speck of dirt came to be there. And you can't clean this. Only I can clean this. And you have to give it to me. And so he cleaned my feet until they shone. And the thing in that dream that stood out to me was not only were my feet black, but he saw that. He looked at me with love, regardless of that. He saw past all of that. And so there's just a few things I want to say, you know, that if there's stuff that you've done or if stuff has been done to you, he loves, absolutely. He loves you. And he will stand before you and call your name. And Isaiah 43 verse 1 says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name and you are mine. And we can come to him with every single speck of dirt. And we can come to him with every part of our lives that we struggle to have freedom in. And he will not pass us by. He will not pass us by. And those things that we struggle to be free from, guilt, shame, secrets, fear, all the things that you struggle with that I haven't mentioned, in the presence of a God who is holy, we are made clean. And freedom comes. And so just to finish, really, I just want to say he is more than able to set us free. And he is a God of miracles. He is a God of the impossible. And we can feel this thing that I struggle with, he can't do anything with that. He can't set me free from that. But that is a lie. That is not true, because the sacrifice that was made by Jesus paid for our freedom once and for all, nothing held back, never to be repeated. If the Son sets us free, we are free indeed. And we can read of this God in the Bible and how he can do the impossible and how he can perform miracles. And somehow we can put him back in a box and think, he can't do that for me, doesn't do those things anymore. Well, I'm here to say, yes, he does. Yes, he does. He is faithful and true. He is Yahweh. And he will set us free in every single area of our lives. And we can come to him, whatever it is. And we can read the Bible, see that he has set us free, and believe him and expect more from him. I'll just pray for us, shall I? Oh, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are faithful and true, that you are Almighty God, and that the sacrifice that was made for us was once for all time, Lord God, and that in you we have complete freedom. And I just pray for each one of us, Lord, that we can come to you and know that we are welcomed into your presence and that we are made clean and that freedom comes. In Jesus' name, amen.